Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 233. This is part two, the conclusion to Fruitful. Today is Sunday, February 12th, 2012.
But anyway, the man that fears God, not because others do, but because he knows God, his life is sincere and his life can be reverent, not because of an education. Or, a force of example. But because the Lord has placed within him, the Bible says, a new heart and a right spirit. And he draws from his own well. He knows the gospel by the Holy Ghost. He can tell when something's on and he can tell when something's off. Because he's always been fed by the springs, by the wells of water, because that's where he's been planted. The Bible says it is written on his heart. And then he receives his witness by the Spirit. Oh, in the end time, you know, everybody's going to be led by the Spirit of God. That new Jerusalem coming down, the Bible speaks of. A church with no walls. There'll come a great coming together, and it's even happening right now. And I am so encouraged by the church of Jesus Christ that's forming right now. On the horizons of this spiritual holocaust. This victory that's coming out over. I mean, this is coming right now, and you're going to see Christians coming together in a great way. And there'll be a lot of persecution at it, and there'll be a lot of people that'll go down moaning, see, because they've learned so much. They'll have to unlearn it all. They'll have to be pruned down to nothing. They'll have to take all these leafy Christians that have no fruit there, and they got all these leafy trees waving in the breeze out there. And they'll have to hack all them branches off. Whack, whack, whack. And at the bottom of the tree, just like when they prune these trees, they take a real sharp knife and they edge cut them all along the bottom on the trunk all the way up. They're going to be standing there all gnarly, waiting for the root to do something. See, they got all the glory by waving out there in the wind and took all the life from the root. And now the root is saying, it's my turn to cause the fruit. You won't be able to lift up your leafy little limbs anymore. So I'm chopping them off. And so he draws from his own well. He knows God. He is led into the truth. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will lead you. He will come. The Comforter will come and lead you into all truth. There's going to be such a move of the Holy Spirit in the end that people are going to be led by the Spirit into all truth, and they will know the truth. And the Bible says, and the truth will set them free. Are you hearing this, gospel preachers? And a whole lot of you have quit and cut and run. 75% of all the preachers that started out 6 years ago are gone. You know why? Because of people. You were mean to me. Did you think they were going to be nice to you? You were telling them what they wanted. And they didn't know whether they wanted it or not. You have to keep right on telling them, though. I thought to myself, why is it that Christians don't protest against the imbalance that they're hearing? I mean, this wholesale selling of the gospel instead of the giving of the gospel. I led a young man to the Lord the other day. He came down, he drove a truck down in from North Dakota. I said, young man, jump up in the back of your truck and go to sleep for a while, and we'll take care of these potatoes out here. In a few hours, they'll be gone. It was 50,000 pounds of potatoes in this trailer. About halfway through, we got down to about 25,000 pounds were gone. He got out of the truck, come around back, and I knew that God had woke this guy up and he was going to be in there a while. And I got him in downstairs. He wanted to use the phone down there, and I gave him the gospel message. And I asked him, I said, are you born again after that? I'd give him the gospel message. He said, well, I don't know. I said, do you have Jesus in your... Well, no, I don't know. He says, I haven't been in church in a long time. I says, I didn't ask you whether you went to church or not. That has nothing to do with receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. And anyway, then I led him to the Lord with a simple gospel message. Well, I don't know if that's right, though, see, because now he left and he drove back to North Dakota, and you should have drove in the back of the truck and gave him several Bible lessons. Well, how about the thief on the cross? Did he have time to get baptized? Did he speak in tongues? No, he just simply believed on the Lord. He believed what he said, and he was saved that day. He says, today you're going to see me in heaven. How's that for a bonus for believing? The Bible says, today if you hear my voice, turn not away. Let me tell you, God is speaking. He spoke to me up here. I had an experience. I'm going to mention what happened because people think I'm nuts enough already. That's true, they do. They think you're totally wacko. I admit it, though. About once a month, I go totally crazy. Do you? How many in here can say that once a month they belong in the insane ward? Done something where your warrant's being locked up. Did you think something that if the thought came out, you could be locked up? Well, can you admit to that? Yeah. Okay, I'll put both my hands up. Maybe I'll throw my legs out there too. Yeah, they asked me that question. He says, Pastor, now you're saying that, you mean to say that there are actually people out on the streets that are mentally ill? I said, well, I'm one of them. About once a month, I really need to be in a straitjacket. I said, how about you? Now, I says, here are people that are out there, and they're that way all the time. Can you imagine being fearful all the time? How many in here, every once in a while, 6 months, a year, every 10 years, once a week or whatever, have nervous fits once in a while? Were you just nervous? I mean, you don't know why you're nervous, you're just nervous. You lift up your coffee cup and you feel like biting into the... Did you ever feel that way? You have nervous fits? Did you ever feel self-conscious? How many of you have felt self-conscious? Maybe just this week. That was a quick one, honey. Good enough, though. Good enough. God's seen it. Got to have a little fun when you preach, because this is kind of heavy preaching, you see. But it's the truth, isn't it? Isn't it the truth? Have those days when we have a superiority complex. And everybody gets good and sick of you. And then you slump into an inferiority complex. Did you ever have one of those superiority complexes? Don't tell me. You've been saved for 15 years. Punk like you tell me about God? Get out of here. I ever had one of those? Nobody wants you around? Huh? And then the next day you're in the dumps and you feel insecure, worried about your job. Where's the next meal going to come from? I wonder if this person loves me. I wonder if they like me. You remember those days where you lose your confidence? How many have had days when they just totally lose their confidence? They just feel like, God, I can't do nothing right. Hope nobody knows this. Oh, they're too busy with themselves. They ain't got time. They don't even notice you. They're too busy thinking the same thing themselves. That's how come I've made it so long. Are you hearing this? What am I saying here? See, you don't have to worry about all those things. Because inherently, everybody has them. Until they learn the secret of being planted by the well of water. And just be content to be there. So they don't have to be superior, inferior, complexed, mixed up, misfits. And that's what we are outside of God. We're disconnected. Now, it would take an A-bomb to get me out of here. Unless God said in a small, still voice, leave. How many are hearing this? It gives you peace. But I'm wondering, where is the discernment of the Christian when people are selling the gospel message? We are sending to you. We have just made a trip to Israel. We were in the garden and we tore pieces of our clothing off. And we prayed over them and we're going to send them to you. But of course it's going to cost money, so you can send in your free will offering for this blessed prayer cloth. Selling the gospel. They asked me one time, Pastor, now, I know your congregation would just love to make that trip over there. And if you can get 20 people to go, you can go for free. Oh, is that right? Well, I do not want to go. What do you mean you don't want to go? You don't want to take a trip for free? All the fringe benefits and everything? No, I said, I know what I want. I want to be by the well of water. Where is the discernment at? No one has protested. No one has said a thing. And they conform to everything that is in fashion. Oh, that looks good. It's kind of like the world does. Everybody cuts all their hair off the sides of their head and they take some kind of greasem, slickem stuff and they do a shoot thing on their hair like this and they paint it all purple and they walk down the street. And then they wear these little jester shoes with a bell, they're turned up with the bells on them so you can hear them coming. I'm glad they do. They could be dangerous. But see, they do it because everybody else is doing it. I remember years ago, I just got out of the service. I was 19, just going 20. And I thought, I seen these suspenders in the, they were red suspenders. And at that time, no one wore them. These were, they wore them in the Al Capone days. So I thought to myself, and I was always kind of that way. I thought, I got that from my mother. I said, I'm going to start a fad. So I got these real wide red suspenders, and I just knew everybody was going to kind of look at them like, what a weirdo. Do you know I wore those faithfully? I went to the Marigold years ago, and I wore them down there faithfully for a whole year. Did you know after that year, everybody was wearing these suspenders? Do you know if you stand on the rock and you keep ministering Jesus Christ to your friends, that you can start something like that? And they'll hold them up a lot better than suspenders, too. Oh, but it sounds good. Let's do that. So many people are running all over to these seminars and all these various teachings all over the world. And I think every bit of this is bad. I really do. Right now we're seeing people, right now it's popular to put the president down. I was watching a show that was, what's this guy that's on this talk show in the morning? Phil Donahue? I know what his name is, but Phil Donahue show? And that was about the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Rabble rousing the people. It's ignorance. And I think ignorance in reverence to divine truth is a very fruitful evil. No, we need instructed people if we are to have a fruitful people. We need instructions. This is like when you start a job. If nobody tells you what to do, you can't be fruitful. We're going to put you on the line here. You're working at General Motors, and you're going to do these citations here. We want you to go down in there and get under the undercarriage down in this pit down there, and we want you to put on shock absorbers, and you don't even know what a shock absorber looks like yet. Okay, sir? Yes, sir? Yes, sir? Yes, sir? Yes, sir? Mm-hmm. Okay, I can do it, sir. Someone doesn't show you, you can't do it at all. If we're going to have a fruitful people, then we need to instruct our people that to minister the gospel in season, out of season, when it's handy and when it isn't handy, and do a work for the Lord. Get involved. Don't be critical of leadership. Don't be like the world. They're so critical of the leadership. They think they can go out and now they're going to have a field day with the President of the United States. What causes that? Jealousy. Well, but that doesn't happen in the church, does it? Unless we get a hold of the divine truth by the divine hand of clear apprehension, people will never know the joy of it when the hard days that are going to come upon us, and we are headed for hard days. When you see in 1 hour on a TV show how they can switch and turn people into animals, we're headed for hard times. Unless people have root in the deep things of God, every promissory note of no suffering will bounce. I think we're ready for a spiritual stock market crash. And people will go broke holding phony, unbalanced promissory notes with no face value, with no scriptural balance, with no backer for the last grab of nonsense. We have heard so much nonsense coming from the pulpits. I don't know, preacher, how knowing what you do know, you listening on the radio, and there's a three of them that write me all. I don't know who they are, but they call and they write. I don't know how it is that we as preachers can get up and go into these great big, high-powered, praise the Lord, way off in Timbuktu someplace in a fashionable area and go there with all the suffering that's going on and tell people that God wants you to have $1 million and all of these things is by claiming. I don't understand that kind of preaching, and you know better too, don't you? Better invest in souls instead of that 5 will get you 10 kind of message. What a carnival of wholesale misconception. It is a carnival. And there's so much fun to be had in obeying the Word of God. That costs in obeying the Word of God. But it's worth. The pearl of great price, let me tell you, is worth it. Well, you know what you have to give? Guy asked me, he says, well, the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I said, do you realize what the treasure is, man? He says, well, what is the treasure? I says, the treasure is your life. Do you think that these amassed fortunes that you have, that those are your life, that those are your treasure? You die, and what good is that? No, the treasure is your life and your breathing and your being. That's your treasure. What are you going to do with your life? How are you going to invest your treasure? Your life is your treasure. Well, he says, I never thought of it that way before. Well, I said, think about it. What treasure is there if you're dead? What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with this treasure that God has given you, this beautiful opportunity towards eternity? Will you sell it all for the pearl of great price? Will you take the fields of the flesh, sell all that, grant this land, so to speak, if you will, and give it to the Lord? And so Joseph showed his character throughout the whole of his life. And I'll go on here now. The Bible says, as a child, his father loved him because he was a son of old age. And so he was old and wise in his ways. He was a youth of great thoughtfulness because his thoughts were on God. Where are your thoughts tonight? He dreamed of God all night. You remember the story of Joseph, I'm sure. You know why he dreamed of God all night? Because his thoughts were on God all day. See, whatever gets you thinking gets you. It says he brought his father an evil report about his brothers, and they sold him into slavery. You remember the story? Then he was tempted by his master's woman. His reply, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" In other words, he said, "I cannot grieve God." And God blessed him, and he became the Pharaoh's number one man. But this still didn't make him dependent upon the Pharaoh. He still trusted God while living in Egypt, in the world. Because you know why? His springs were deep. I think a lot of times we depend upon the excitement in a revival type of situation. Then we have no kind of a living principle. And so if religion seems to prosper people, they run to church. If it's something in it for them, they are happy and they are joyful until trials come. How you doing? "Oh, I'm doing great. God is so good and wonderful and great. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you." Until a trial comes. They want to quit. They want to run away from their kingdom home. Like spoiled little brats. "I'm going to run away too. You wait, see." Well, don't let the door hit you in the seat of the pants on the way out. But anyway, his springs were deep. Don't ever depend upon a preacher. He may fall, he may fail, he may die. I thought I was dying the other day. No, this didn't happen because I'm here, as you can well see. No, you depend on Jesus. That's the only well there really is. That's all you're ever going to need, don't you know? Never rely on yourself. Well, the only one I trust is myself. Don't you dare trust yourself. How many have trusted themselves and it didn't work out? Double-crossed yourself, didn't you? No, you got to rely on the grace of God. Even Moses in the second text mentions the deep that couches beneath as having his own form of blessing. And so when a man like Joseph can be compared to a fruitful tree, it says by a well, because he is rooted in fellowship with God. He's drawing his supplies from a secret place, a life that is hid, and his support of his life is hidden also. And someone says, "Oh, why are you so happy?" Well, just tell them, "You know why I'm happy? Because, see, I'm like a tree." Now, they're going to think you're crazy. "I'm like a tree that's like a well that's roots have been sunk way down until it's tapping the well. And that's how come I'm so happy." And they're going to shake their head and say, "Uh-huh, well, Yeah. Real good. See you later. But if you continue on like that, and you just every day are consistently the same way, they're going to get to thinking about that. Sooner or later, they're going to come to your fruitful tree and say, how come there's so much fruit and so much joy and so much right in your life? Why are you so happy? You don't have anything. Why are you so peaceful? Why are you so joyful? Well, see, I'm a tree. And my roots are going way down by the well. And they're going to argue with you and say, I want to know the secret of this thing. Well, the secret and the mystery is that this well represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be by that well, you've got to be born again and you can give them the message. See, the practicing, the preaching is in the practicing. If you practice staying by the well and the waters without end, it's going to have an effect on folks. They're going to want to know what you have, what makes you tick. Say amen. I bet you right now there's a whole lot of people that are wondering what makes me tick, or this ministry tick, or Jim tick, or Carolyn tick, or George, or Mick, or Don, or Janine, or any of you in here. What makes you want to do this? Well, I'm a tree with roots that go down by the well. Now, if you all come up with that same story, at least there'll be a few of us that are crazy. But it's the truth, isn't it? Are you hearing this message tonight before I close it up? Have you heard thus far what I'm saying? Oh, to dwell with him who is invisible. And so that we ourselves become, the Bible says, partakers of an unseen life. The things which are seen are temporal, the Bible says, but the things which are not seen are eternal. No, what a great thing it is to cultivate the inner life, which is the true life. I cut my hand here real deep with a saw down there, that power nail, and it got cut way down inside there, and it had to heal from the inside and heal that inside part, and then come out and heal the outside part because it was cut way down on the inside. And I watched that thing heal, and it dawned on me. I said, well, you know what? The healing is coming from the inside. But I mean, I knew that before, but it was a revelation to me. Everything you need is in you. Did you know that? Jesus is in you. It's all you need. Jesus in you is your hope of glory. Jesus in you is your joy and your peace and your righteousness in the Holy Ghost. It's all you need. Now, if you can get that down, listen, I'm going to close it up here, but this supplies that I'm talking about here in a manner are inexhaustible. The well is never drawn dry, and deep that lieth under, it's never emptied. It's always full. The Bible says there's going to come a dry time, a terrible dry time. I don't need any prosperity teachings to excite me, to thrill and delight me. Oh, no. It's just the nearness of him. I need no prosperity teachings to excite me, to thrill and delight me. Oh, no. It's just the nearness of him. Huh? And to feel in the night the closeness of him. When my roots reach out to him, I'm talking about. The word within so real, I need no presence to inspire me, no promises of life of ease to enhance me. Oh no, it's just the nearness of him. God, I hope I've made myself crystal clear that this is what you really need and this is what you really want. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope I've made myself clear here tonight. God, when you're stripped of everything that you just thought, oh, this is all, if I only have this, and I only have that, and I only have this, and it's all gone. Then you come to the realization that that's what you wanted all along. Are you in a hospital today while you're listening to me? Draw near to God. Maybe you're in a mental institution. Draw near to God. His grace is sufficient. And lastly, let's look at the other blessings. If you are by the well, sending your roots down into the waters, you will be fruitful, the Bible says. You will be a tree with fruit. And so a tree that is fruitful is one that's sustained by the root. And will do you no good for you to clench your fist and grit your teeth and shout, I will work hard and try to bear fruit. Fruit isn't produced by work. No vine toils so that it gets buds or blossoms. No, it bears fruit in the order of nature, in a time. And so we have a lot of fruitless workings going on nowadays, pumped up religion and mechanical devotion, artificial excitement instead of godliness. Whew. See, there is no noise in the production of grapes. Did you ever hear a vine groaning? Did you ever go out into the vineyard and hear the vine groan? So many Christians, when they're giving out, they're in a groaning stage. Oh, travailing or groaning. No, you go out into that field, the grapes aren't groaning out there. Oh! The fruit comes from the root. And the root of your spirituality is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's as spiritual as you're going to get. Jesus in you. You can't manufacture it. You can't get it mechanically or artificially. You can't pump it up. Do you ever hear grapes screaming though? No. Imagine the noise out there in the cornfield when corn is coming to life. Do you hear it out there? Ouch, oh, it hurts. Oh, no. No, you don't hear any of that. Did you ever hear a moaning melon? No, it just happens. And it happens because of that root that gives us its life when it's planted by the well without end. And all of a sudden, no thanks to you, by the way. God causes you to prosper. God causes you to be fruitful. And it all happens by the grace of God and from the root. There is a song, we shall not be moved. I know that I live in a finished work. I will not be moved from that. I know that His grace is sufficient to keep me under that hour, and I will not be moved from that. I know that I have life eternal, and I will not be moved from that. I know that the gospel message has something worth hearing in it. Oh, how I long to see a people who have received a kingdom which cannot be moved. No matter what, it cannot be moved. And so we can also enjoy a sort of a personal safety and a nearness to God. Hear what Jacob says here in my last minute. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. What's it saying? It's saying if you live near to God, you will be a target for the ungodly. And hated of the world. It will cause a grieving in your heart at times. But Joseph, the Bible says, lived above the rage of men, getting his strength from God. So tonight, strike deep, dig in. And remember, I told you what you really wanted. Every time that you go to the icebox, henceforth and forevermore, God put it on their mind. Listening on the radio, every time you go to the icebox, and I know this is going to hit people because they go to the icebox all the time. And you say in there, I don't know what I want. There's going to be a small, still voice that's going to say, I am what you want. Now you just go ahead and try not to think that the next time you open up your full icebox. What do you really want in here tonight? You want more of Jesus. That's what you really want. You know how you get it? By striking deep. And getting your roots down inside there by the well. That's it. Isn't that great? Didn't that thrill you? It does thrill you, don't it? And maybe you just don't quite know what you want yet. The next time you open up your icebox, you're going to be reminded. Next time you open up your clothes closet and you see all them clothes hanging in there and you don't know what you want to wear, there's a little voice going to say to you, put on Jesus. Every time you open up those doors and say, I don't know what I want to wear. Every time you open up the refrigerator, I don't know what I want. It's going to stick with you till the day you die. Thanks a lot. Yeah, that's all right. Don't thank me. God's going to remind us all. And in the end it says, no one is going to be led but by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that precious? God, I know what I want. Finally, I'm 54 years old. And I know what I want. And I knew what I want when I was 39 when I come to know Jesus. I knew right then, and I want more. And more and more and more. It says, until you become like him. That ain't going to happen down here. You're going to meet him. It says if we get raptured out, you'll meet him in the air. You'll be made like him. Why? You couldn't stand the glory. You couldn't stand it. There'd be too much glory up there. You couldn't stand that. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior?